So again, this is not to say that you don't make external changes in your life. Simply saying you do not do them on your own. Right. That's a variation of that very important section in chapter 18, I need do nothing. All right, the point of that section is not that you don't do anything in the world. It's that you don't do anything on your own, because when you do it on your own, you will actually think you need to do something in the world. You need to institute a change in your world, in your personal world or even the world at large. All right. When you have Jesus as your teacher, right, which is the point of that section, which many of you know is not originally in the course, it was really a message from Jesus to Helen. All right. The point of all that is do it with me. And when you do it with me, you would recognize the only thing you need to do is shift your focus from the problem you believe is external to the problem which is internal, namely that you fired me. And so to solve the problem, hire me back. Simple. And when you do that, you would recognize the problem is not external. You don't have to fix anything. You don't have to change anything. And if there is something which it would be helpful to change externally, once again, you would do it without effort. You would do it without strain. You would do it with kindness and gentleness and love. And everybody would benefit. So again, this is not saying that you don't make external decisions and you don't institute changes in your life. It means before you do anything external, change the ancient scripts. Change from the ego script to the Holy Spirit script. And what helps us to do that more and more frequently over time is to be aware of how much it costs us to keep instituting change with the ego. How nothing ever really changes. Forms change, but the underlying issues don't. If there is a job that is ending for you, if there's a relationship that is ending for you, if there's a place where you're living that is ending for you, then you want that ending to be gentle and gradual and loving and kind. Otherwise, you will never end it, and which means you can never begin the next chapter or the next part of your life or the next part of your script. So again, this is not saying you don't bring things to an end necessarily externally, but if you do it with the Holy Spirit or with Jesus, it will be done differently. Let me just tell give a brief aside. Nancy Bloom is here, and she reminds me, her presence reminds me of something that she taught me many years ago. And many of you who used to come to Roscoe know about the Tenano Lake Trio. Nancy and her husband Phil and myself started a musical trio, and we gave like one or two concerts a year at Roscoe for 10 years. Many of you, I think, were there for many of them. Phil's a cellist. Nancy's a cellist, too, but her second instrument was a piano, which we needed for the trio, so she played the piano. And they were stuck with me as a clarinetist. Nancy's profession actually is a music teacher, and she's a wonderful music teacher. And one thing that she taught me was how to end a musical phrase. Those of you who know music know that a piece of music is made up of phrases. Since I had so much trouble just getting through a damn piece, all I cared about was playing each note. And when you end a phrase, you should end it kind of nicely, so that allows you to then move into the other one. But since all I could think about was getting rid of this note so I could then worry about the next note, I would play the note exactly as it was written. So, for example, if it were a quarter note and needed one beat in the measure, I would give it one beat, and then I'll kind of get off it as quickly as I can and begin praying fiercely that I'd be able to make my next note. All right. So what Nancy helped me recognize was how important it was to round off the final note, right? And to make it be, not so much give it another beat, obviously, although I was prone to do that too, but to just make it be very, very soft and gentle as you rounded it off, and that's what then allowed you then to move effortlessly into the next phrase. It was very helpful musical advice, but it's also a very helpful paradigm for how one should live one's life, all right? You could see your life as consisting of phrases, right? And we move from one to the next. So when we're younger, we go through various phases of development, and we go through school, we graduate one school, we go to another school, we leave one class, go to another class, etc. But the basic pattern doesn't end. We are always going from one thing to another. All right, there are larger phrases and there are smaller ones. So larger phrases are relationships that are more intimate and intense, but which come to an end. All right, there are occupations. All right, and so we could have one occupation which we study for, and we go through. We spend 10, 20 years, and then we feel this time for a change. All right, rounding off the phrase would mean in this context that you end the relationship or you end the form, you end whatever it is in a gentle way. If you do not, it becomes harsh, which then means that what will then follow will also be harsh. All right, so again, the idea is not that you don't make changes. This is, we're not talking about doing or not doing external things in the world. We're talking about what you do first on the inside. Because if you ask the teacher of gentleness and the teacher of kindness to be your guide, then you will end that phase of your life gently and kindly and lovingly, and nobody will be hurt.